Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our second Sunday in Advent as we talk about waiting and preparing. But first, let's pray. O Lord our God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, that we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory, through Jesus Christ our Saviour. Amen. Our reading for today is the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3 verse 1 to 12, and I'm reading from the NIV. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think that you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. Our reading for this Sunday continues the focus on the future from our first Sunday in Advent, though not with a view to discussing a variety of theological perspectives. Today's reading, which is from the lectionary along with our candle reading, raises hope for the future reign of God in all the world, a reign that will be characterized by God's justice and righteousness. This future king will, according to our candle reading, which is in Isaiah 11, be of the line of David. Today, the sermon is about waiting and preparing. And waiting and preparing is at its core an act of faith, but it is also an act that is infused with great joy, a theme I have switched around from its traditional place on the third Sunday to share with the idea of preparation. We wait and prepare for the arrival of our Lord Jesus Christ with bated breath and suppressed joy that can hardly be contained, like a child that can barely restrain itself waiting for Christmas morning so it can open its presents. But this joy in preparation is held in tension, as first we are confronted in our text by the character of John the Baptist, as well as the general roughness of his ministry, a ministry which was conducted in the desert of Judea, a barren and rugged land west of the Dead Sea. His was a very serious, uncompromising ministry with a message that was forthright, having two parts. First, a redemptive aspect, repent, and second, an end-time aspect, for the kingdom of heaven is near. His language also comes as a shock. "You brood of vipers," he calls the Sadducees and Pharisees in verse 7, harsh words indeed. There is nothing attractive about John himself. He wears animal skins, hair of camels, held together with a strip of leather for a belt. He eats locusts and wild honey and looks like the prophet Elijah. John is like Elijah, who later rebukes the king for forgetting God when he spoke out against Herod, as well as the religious dignitaries of the day. John is like Elijah, who in Jewish expectation at the time of Jesus would come again when the reign of God was at hand. Jesus himself identified John this way in Matthew 11, verse 14, saying, "And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come," referencing the closing words of Malachi in chapter 5, verse 6, who prophesied, saying, "See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes." Nevertheless, John the Baptist's ministry was to be the ambassador of the coming king, preparing God's people, Israel, for their Messiah. This brings us to our second point of tension between the arrival of the Messiah and the joy associated with waiting and preparing. The tension introduced came through a very distinct call for repentance. So it's not just a good news, God loves you announcement, but a call to deep repentance. And a sign of repentance was for those who heard his message to be baptized. John's baptism was quite unusual, since he was the first person who came baptizing others. It was by no means the same as the full immersion in water of those who converted to Judaism, nor is it the same as the baptism of Jesus, which is practiced by the church today. Instead, it was a sign of repentance in order for people to be prepared for and enter into the approaching kingdom of heaven. But the idea that repentance was necessary in order to enter this kingdom was something new and became a stumbling block to many Jews. They thought that as children of Abraham, they would automatically be granted entrance into the Messiah's kingdom. However, they did not realize how far they had drifted from God's law and the requirements laid down by the prophets. You only have to read Malachi chapter 3, verse 7 to 12 to see how far. John further emphasized the reality of their backslidden state by declaring that, if necessary, God could quite easily raise up stones to become his children. Unfaithful lives have no security in God, no matter what they or others may think. God could and ultimately would take outsiders, the Gentiles, if necessary, to become his children. For this reason, Judaism was in danger of being removed unless fruit in keeping with repentance was forthcoming, meaning to return to living faithfully as people of the covenant. In the end, the tension between joy and the alarming ministry of John, as well as his call to repentance and baptism, gives way to true joy that is part of being in right relationship with God. See how David prayed in Psalm 51, seeking God's forgiveness for his dreadful sins. He no longer knew God's joy. Here are verses 7 and 12, which reflect repentance and the joy David longed for. Verse 7 says, "Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow." Verse 12 goes on to say, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." So, what was John preaching when he announced that the kingdom of heaven was near? Was it the case that God was about to begin a rule in the heavenly places? Obviously not, because God has always ruled over the heavens and all creation from the very beginning. John must have meant that God's reign was about to be extended directly into this world, brought about through the person of Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah. And it was for Jesus, God's anointed one, that John was preparing the way. Now, no one hearing John preach asked him what on earth he was talking about, since the concept of Messiah's rule over all things, including the whole of the earth, was a common thread in Old Testament prophecy. But what did cause a stir was that for Messiah's rule to be established, the nation should repent as part of preparing for this moment. Our reading is explicit. John's message was a fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, which said, "A voice of one calling, in the desert prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God." Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 echoes these words, where God speaks and says, "See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. That John was a voice of one calling in the desert to prepare a remnant to receive the Messiah suggests that he came to separate people from the religious systems of the day. In one sense, the separation was his location, in the desert, far away from Jerusalem. In another sense, the separation was created by the baptism he insisted on, which would create a starting point for those who had repented. As we end, we see at least two things. John came preparing the way for the Lord, and those people who responded to his message and were baptized prepared their hearts for the Messiah and God's approaching kingdom through their repentance. A notable aspect about John the Baptist's ministry was to ensure that his audience understood who he was in relation to the coming Messiah. As a minister of the good news he proclaimed, he emphasized his place before the one who was to come, that he was not even worthy to carry or untie his sandals. John himself was just a messenger preparing a remnant for the Messiah, authorized by God to baptize in water those who responded. By contrast, the coming one, Jesus, would baptize them with the Holy Spirit and with fire. For John's audience, his words would be reminiscent of two Old Testament prophecies. First, Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 29, which is about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, so a future event, and second, Malachi chapter 3, verse 2 to 5, which speaks of God coming as a refining fire to purge his people. Here specifically, this baptism with fire referred to the judging and cleansing of those who would enter the kingdom. And John spoke of this purging or separation that occurs when a winnowing fork is used to toss up the grain. Wheat is then gathered into the barn, and chaff is blown aside by the breeze to be burned up. The imagery is clear. With the Messiah's arrival, he would prepare a remnant, wheat, for the kingdom by empowering and cleansing the people. Those who reject him, that is the chaff, would be judged and cast into eternal, unquenchable fire. Thus, John's preaching of the coming of Jesus is a key theme of the Advent season, and because his message prepared the way for Jesus in the first century, we too are called to prepare ourselves for Jesus' coming, not so much for Christmas Day, but for the return of Jesus as promised in Scripture. We respond to John's message by being mindful of the need to constantly reform our lives through Scripture by the power of the Spirit. We are also called to be prophets, in inverted commas, of Christ, announcing by our lives, as John did, the coming of the Lord, except perhaps not dressed in camel hair clothing and with a diet of locusts and honey, rather through our faith and witness. What are we to do? We continue by faith, waiting and preparing with a deep sense of joy as we look forward to the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In this season, and also with our eyes on the horizon, looking for the day of the Lord, we must live with hearts that should be quick to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near, with us and in us, already but not yet. So may God help us to be faithful because he is faithful, keeping covenant with his people. Amen. Let's pray. God of timeless grace, you fill us with joyful anticipation as we wait for your return. Make us ready by the power of your Spirit and your eternal word, that with uprightness of heart and holy joy we may eagerly await the kingdom of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, who reigns with you and the Holy Spirit now and forever. Amen. And God bless you.